We're looking at some of the details of the technical matters involved in the big day kahuna, and they're exceedingly intricate, and we could spend a long time on it, but I thought maybe we should look at some of the drush on the parsha. From Rabbi Friend's compendium of Vertlach, He says, Aaron HaKohen was chosen because he was one of the people. And he says that in this week's parsha, Aaron and his children are chosen to be the Kohanim. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, bring near Aaron, your brother, and his four sons, from among Klal Yisroel, lechan oili, to be my Kohanim. And forever they became the Kohanim, doing the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. They duchen, and Be'ezras Hashem, in future, at the Bayis Shlishi, we will have Kohanim again involved in the Avoda, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines he wants done. The Medrash Rabbah quotes a pasuk in Tehillim from Kuf Yud Tes, the very long Tehillim. It says, had your Torah not been my preoccupation, I would have perished in my affliction. And it makes the following comment. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to make Aaron and his children Kohanim, Moshe seemed somewhat bothered. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, Moshe, the Torah that was mine, of mine alone, I gave to you. And without the Torah, the world would not exist. I would have destroyed it. So he says, Moshe, why do you seem to have a problem that Aaron and his sons became Kohanim? Your role was so chashuv. And my friend points out the Medrash is difficult for two reasons. First of all, we know how happy Aaron was when he met Moshe, when Moshe came back to Mitzrayim to lead the Jews. There wasn't an ounce of jealousy. And Moshe, too, didn't have an ounce of jealousy in him. So what would it be that upset Moshe? What was it that he sort of thought, maybe it's some sort of failing in himself? The other thing is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give Moshe the encouragement not to be bothered, right? How does it make sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message, Moshe Rabbeinu, you received the Torah? I don't understand. How is it that being a Kohen is somehow juxtaposed to bringing the Torah to Eretz Yisrael, right to Klal Yisrael? He quotes a Rav Avram Buxbaum, who was a Rav in Miami, who sent him a Torah Sot from the Yismach Moshe. The Yismach Moshe was the grandfather of the first Satmar Rebbe, Rav Yol Tardabam. And he says, this was a pshat. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I gave you the Torah. Yismach Moshe states, there is not an ounce of jealousy on Moshe's part. He was thrilled that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had picked his big brother and his nephews as Kohanim. But Moshe was wondering, what chisaron, what did he lack in terms of his own relationship with the Rabbona Shel Olam that precluded him from fulfilling this mission? What, for example, did he have to change? And so Moshe was asking, Rabbona Shel Olam, what is it that I need to change? And, right, Yismach Moshe says, Moshe Rabbeinu had a closer relation with Hashem than Aaron did. No person in history of the world was closer to the Rabbona Shel Olam. My friend says, maybe Adam Harishon might challenge him. Logic would have dictated that the role of the ambassador of the Rabbona Shel Olam, which seems to be a job description for the Kohen, should have been given to the person who was the closest on earth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're making a mistake. Your logic is not factual. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, find nothing wrong with you. As a matter of fact, you want to know why you cannot be the Kohen Gadol? You are too perfect. You are above, your level is such that you rise above the ability to do the job. Kohanim related to the average Jew. Right? They received the Trumos. They received the 24 Matnas Kahuna, the 24 gifts to the Kohen. But, more importantly, when someone did something wrong in those days, he didn't do a mitzvah, so say, a positive commandment, or he made a mistake and had to bring a korban chatos, they went to the Kohen. The Kohen had to be able to receive the person and say, it's wonderful that you want to make atonement. And I understand the human condition is to make mistakes. People stumble. And the Kohen must be a person who is able to stumble. Moshe was so perfect, he was almost unable to stumble. And he was on a pristine level that the average person would have been unable to basically empathize with, to say, oh my gosh, how can I come to Moshe? He's perfect. Aaron HaKohen, they saw, made a mistake. He was misled in the case of the golden calf. Aaron, whatever he did, felt that he had sinned. And he had done tshuva. He knew internally the ability of individuals to make a mistake, and similarly, the ability of people to atone and come back to that wonderful level with the Rabbona Shel Olam. That's why Aaron could be the Kohen Gadol. He could turn to people and say, I've been there, I've stumbled, and I stumbled maybe big time, but I was able to come back. And there's no way that you cannot come back. He said to Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you were in Shemayim, you were able to fight with Malachim. The angels said, what are you doing, mortal human being, trying to take the Torah? And I turned to you and I said, answer them. And Moshe had the ability to say to them, okay, Kabed es avicha vesimecha. Angels, where's your mother? Where's your father? How do you honor them? How can you be covetous? You don't have it in you. You can't be over wanting somebody else's property. Your whole essence is not that way. Tell me, were you in Mitzrayim? Were you enslaved that you came out? The Torah, if you read its content, only relates to the human being. You don't have any possibility for avodah zarah. You don't do malacha. You cannot do a malacha on Shabbos. Moshe told the Malachim, you don't need the Torah. You have a level such that the Torah doesn't affect you. It doesn't have any passions or any evil inclinations in you to overcome. We human beings, we need this. That's the only way we are going to be able to meet the mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted for human beings. Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu, I gave you the Torah because you are a human being. You can relate to the Torah. But understand that Aaron HaKohen is more suited to be the Kohen, right? To be the Kohen. You can't contend with an angel and be apt to make serious mistakes. Aaron has that ability to make a serious mistake and come back. You can't aspire to a role which I didn't give you the attributes for. We know that in Parsha Shmini, right, it says, Moshe said to Aaron, Kravel HaMizbeach. Aaron, come on, you're reluctant. Go to the Mizbeach, approach it. It says, Aaron felt still embarrassed, and he was afraid. He was afraid that he was still tainted in some shape, manner, form from the effect of the golden calf. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Aaron, go forward. Don't be embarrassed. This is the very reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam picked you. Now, the Yismach Moshe says, when Hashem said to Moshe, now you bring near Aaron, your brother, and the sons, it highlights Besoch B'nei Yisroel. From the B'nei Yisroel, they were chosen because they are definitely among the people. They share their attributes. And so we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously does not give each role to every person. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to pick the individual who most can succeed in a role. Rabbi Frant quotes Rav Yitzchak Bernstein with a teaching of the Dubna Magid. Again, looking at the words mitoch from the midst of Bnei Yisroel. Right? The question by Bernstein says is, well, where's he going to get? If they're not mitoch Bnei Yisroel, if they're not from among God's people, where's he going to get Kohanim from? Isn't this somewhat a redundant concept? And my friend says that Divna Magid has something novel. The Talmud teaches us that Yiftach in his generation had the same level vis-a-vis the people as Shmuel HaNavi did in his generation. We know that Yiftach was problematic. He's the one who, after he had a war, uttered that the first thing that come out of my house become a korban. And the question is, did he sacrifice his daughter or not? He was not the world's greatest Talmud Chacham, but yet he seemed to be the person who was best able to lead the generation. Shmuel HaNavi in his generation was obviously, right, miles and miles ahead in terms of religious accomplishment. He was one of the most dominant figures in Navi. But the people who lived in each generation had the same degree of reverence for Yiftach as the people in Shmuel's generation had for him. According to this comment, by Bernstein says, had Shmuel lived in the generation of Yiftach, he wouldn't have been anything special. What? He says, how's that possible? He was miles ahead. The Dubna Magid says, Yiftach wasn't greater. It means that every generation needs a leader for whom they can relate. There can be leaders who are too big for the generation. They are too far above, too removed for the people to be able to take them seriously and to follow them. And my friend says, the same way we can take a tuxedo for a wedding, and if a 9-year-old child wants to wear it, it dwarfs him. Similarly, a gentleman who is a size 42 and is given by mistake a size 50 suit is going to have all kinds of useless room in it. He says leaders are the same way. Shmuel would not have been attractive to Yiftach's generation because they would have said, he's on a spiritual island. He's not someone we can relate to. He's aesthetically removed from us. And this is what my Bernstein is saying. B'soch b'nei Yisroel, in every generation, the Kohanim and the leaders need to be among their generation. They need to be people who can relate to the masses and whom the masses can relate to. We do not need a leader, my friend says, who people will turn to and say, he's a malach. We cannot reach his level, and we can't be expected to follow because it's just not in our ability. We were talking about the Urim Bitumim. Urim was the light. We know that the stones would light up when a question was asked. And Tumim, apparently, my friend says, was the ability to take those letters, arrange them appropriately into the Hebrew words they needed to be, and understand the message. Rabbi Friend says, when I was a kid, I said if I only had my own Urim V'Tumim, I could have passed every test I ever had, and I could have figured out every year who would win the World Series. He wouldn't have thought that that would have been his passion. He says, obviously, that's not what an Urim V'Tumim was used for. But the Ramban tells us something. For example, he says, they did not say, for example, if the king asked the Urim V'Tumim, should I go to war? It didn't get the words back, Lech lil milchama, go to war. What came back was a code which needed to be deciphered, and this was the Tumim. And we mentioned yesterday the famous story how Eli HaKohen made the mistake with Chana when he had the letters Shin Kuf Resh, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant kosher, and he read as Shikur, drunk. He was at that stage of the game Tumim denied, so to speak, my friend would say. He didn't have the ability to appropriately arrange the letters. He quotes a sefer, Beis Ov, by Rav Elkayim Schlesinger. He says that today there are people who are Urim. They have Torah light. They are steeped in Torah knowledge. And they can prove things from the Torah. But they may lack the Tumim. They may not have the ability to take what they have and turn it around into that which is needed. What's the appropriate message? He says, he brings an example in Parshas Zohar, which right the Haftorah we're going to read in a number of weeks, where Shmuel HaNavi dispatched King Shaul, to go and get Amalek, to wipe them out. And Shmuel HaNavi was clear, you got to get rid of all of them. And we know what happened, right? Shaul HaMelech took mercy on the flock, and he left Agag, the king, alive a bit till Shmuel killed him. Right? And he quotes how when Shmuel approached Shaul, Shaul's first words were, Rebbe, I did exactly what you told me. And my friend says, how can this be? He didn't. He had failings. Hashem had given him a clear message. How did he mess up? It could only be that Shaul HaMelech somehow believed that what he did was Hashem's will. In other words, he saw the Urim, he saw the message, but his interpretation, the Tumim, was flawed. We can sometimes be blinded. We can get a message, and yet our own, let us say, our own biases or whatever get in the way. That is why we need gedolim and why we need leaders. We need people who are able to look at that which is given. They need the ability to sit back and see what it is needed, and to know how to juxtapose technical rules with reality. As Rav Lehrfeld pointed out today, in 1930, the Chafetz Chaim wrote the Mishneh Berurah. As he said, if you want a paskin today, he said, there are since about 5 different sforim that pick up later poskim, Rav Moshe, Rav El Yashuv, etc. Dirshu was one, and he said with another 4 or 5. He said, if you want a paskin in today's day and age, it may not be enough to look at the pure words. It may require a lot more. And he said, it's interesting, because he says, when Rav Yosef Kaira wrote the Shulchan Aruch, that was to be it. When the Rambam wrote the Mishneh Torah, and yet we see as time has gone on, there are more and more nuances. There are more and more changes in society, in technology, etc. And because of that, there's a tremendous need to take the same principles that Moshe Rabbeinu got from the Rabboni Shel Olam and have been passed down through the Mesorah, through the great Rabbonim, and apply it to today's situations.